Vava Midbeis, 12 lines to the top. Okay, I mean, we learned a few lines, but we didn't learn for a long time, so we have to get back into what the Gemara is talking about. It says over here, Gufa, we learned before, the Gemara brought down a halacha before, that Echad Bechor, whether it's a firstborn animal that has to be brought as a carbon, because when you have a firstborn animal, you have to bring it as a carbon, then the Kohanim eat it. Ve'echad Kol HaKodshim, or any other sacrifices that you have an obligation to bring. So the Brisa says a strange expression, so to speak. Given Shavar Aleim Shana Beleir Golim, if a year passed by without three holidays, or the Golim with three holidays passed by Beleir Shana without a year, Ever Bial Ta'achar, you're transgressing the sin of delaying a carbon. Like we learned before in the Gemara, you have a certain time frame to bring a carbon. Okay.
Once you obligate yourself to it.
Once you obligated yourself, or if it's a firstborn animal, God obligated you by just giving you the firstborn. So the Gemara says, now you have three Yom Tovim. So it says, either three Yom Tovim passed, even if it's not a year, or a year passed without three holidays. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to say, three Yom Tovs without a year, it's simple to understand. For instance, if it was born before Pesach, so you have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, basically in a half a year. So you can have three Yom Tovs without a year. Right? But the Gemara is going to ask, how in the world can you have a year without three holidays? I mean, how does such a thing exist? You need, in every year there's three holidays. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Eregolim B'lei Shana, I understand the holidays without a year, that makes sense. El Shana B'lei Eregolim, but if you have a year without holidays, how do you find such a thing? Okay, how do you just get it, right? So the Gemara says, "Hey, it is like a sidran." So the Gemara says as follows: according to the opinion, which was Rebbe before, that holds it has to be kisidran. Now, kisidran means, this is all very simple, what we learned before. According to Rebbe, you need three holidays in a row. That means it always has to start from Pesach. The Torah says Pesach is the first holiday. Right? That's what the Torah says. Because Nisan is the first month. So Pesach is the first holiday. So I understand one opinion says, when do you transgress if you have three holidays? The three holidays must be in order. That means, according to this opinion, if somebody dedicated a sacrifice between Pesach and Shavuos, yeah, between Pesach and, like now, yeah, somebody had a firstborn animal dedicated to carbon. Now, Shavuos is going to go by, Sukkot is going to go by, it didn't even start yet. When Pesach comes, then you start three. So according to that opinion, it's very easy to have a year without three holidays. If you start, let's say, today, a year from now, you're only going to end up with one holiday. Counted in the order, because Pesach is going to be the first holiday. So that makes sense according to that opinion. So he says, Eleman de Lesley Kisidran, but according to the opinion that says it doesn't have to be in order, meaning pace any three holidays in order, you know, is transgressing. So the Gemara says, Heichem Mishkachusla, how in the world do you find a year without three holidays? Because this opinion says you don't need the holidays in order. Then Shavuos could be first, Sukkot could be first, it doesn't matter. So the question is, how is it possible to have a year without three holidays? And the Gemara continues, Bishlei Miller Rabbi, this is according to Rabbi, Mishkachas Lei B'Shana Mu'beres. It could be found in a leap year. What do you mean, a situation of a leap year? The time, because we learned, Shana Tamima, when you have a concept of a complete year, it says sometimes in the Torah, in scriptures, the concept of Shana Tamima. In the Vayikra, later on in Vayikra, it speaks about redeeming fields that a person sold. So it says over there, Shana Tamima, a complete year. Now, what is the definition of a complete year? So Rabbi says, Meinu Shleish Me'etze Shishim Chamisha Yom. You count 365 days. because that's the solar year. Kaminyan Yemei Sechama, corresponding with the days of the solar calendar. Okay, I'll explain in a second. V'chachamim Meimer Chachamim says Meinim Shneim Asa Chedesh Meyem Liyem. You have 12 months. In other words, you go by the lunar calendar, which is 354 days. Vim Nisab Rishana, and if the year had a leap year, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Vim Nisab Rishana, and if the leap year was, if the year ended up to be a leap year, Nisabala, you gain from it. Okay? The Torah says, if you sell certain types of fields, if you sold them, you have a year to buy them back. Or to redeem them. Whatever the law is over there. The Torah says you have a complete year to buy it back. Or to redeem it. Now, what does a year mean? The Rebbe says it's 365 days, period. The Chachamim hold it's a lunar year. It's a lunar calendar, which is 354 days. What happens if you end up with a leap year? So you have a 13th month. So then you have more than 365, because you have 354 plus, let's say, 30. It's 384 or 382. Three, depending if it's 29 days or 30 days. So you gain by it. What does this whole system mean? It's important to understand this, because later on in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, this is the whole concept of figuring out the months. Like we said before, the solar calendar, as everybody knows, is 365 1/4 days. Okay? The Gemara is not talking about the quarters, so the Gemara talks about 365 days. The lunar calendar, like we said, that the Jews go by, is 354 days. In fact, there is no year in the lunar calendar. It's lunar's month. Solar is the sun, so it's a year. Right? In a lunar calendar, B'chlad, there's no year. This is what we have Tishri, a new year, is because that's the solar system. But according to Torah calendar, it's a lunar calendar. Now, because it's 11 days less than a solar year, after 3 years, you're going to be 33 days behind. After 5 months, you're going to be 55 days behind, right? Because there's only 354 days in a lunar year, in 12 months, right? In the solar calendar, you have 365. Yes? So, every year you lose out 11 days. At the end of 10 years, you're going to be 110 days behind. Right? What's the problem? Who cares? And Lahavdil, the Muslims, who also go by the lunar calendar, don't care. Ramadan keeps changing because it has nothing to do with the solar calendar. So, just to give you a simple example, after 10 years, you're going to be 110 days off. So Pesach is going to fall out sometimes in the middle of the winter, because you're always less. And the Torah says Pesach has to be B'chedesh Ha'aviv, in the spring. So what do you do? Okay? So the Torah gave the concept what's called a leap year. Every so often, you add a month. Because by adding a month, then you make up for the law's days. Okay? Now, how does this work? So the calendar is set up, the calendar we have, is set up in a 19-year cycle. In the 19-year cycle, there's 12 regular lunar years, and there's 7 leap years. So with that system of a 19-year cycle, 12 regular years and 7 leap years, it basically equals out. It's a little off, and that's also fixed by 1 month adding another day and sometimes not, but that's reconciled, so to speak. But in the 19-year, that's how our calendar works out. In the 19-year cycle, so what happens is you have 12 regular years, 7 leap years, and the system works out. Now, the guy has a year. Let's say another example, which is a practical example. What happens in a rental story? I say to it, it's talking about in Eretz Yisrael with when the Jews dealt with Jewish issues, right? A Jew comes to another Jew and says, I'm renting my house to you for $1,200 a year. He says, I'm renting the house to you for $1,200 a year, which basically means $100 a month. Now it's a leap year. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't know when it was going to be a leap year, because Beis Din decided at the last minute when it was going to be a leap year, right? But what happens when a guy says to somebody, I'm renting to you a house for $1,200 a year, and it ended up becoming a leap year, the tenant gains. It's officially $100 a month, so you should pay an extra $100. No. He said, I'm giving it to you for $1,200 a year. It doesn't mean $100 a month. It means $1,200 for the year. If there's an extra month, he gains. What happens if somebody says to somebody, I'm renting you my house for $100 a month, and it's a leap year, then you have to pay $1,300 for the year. Then the Gemara discusses, what happens if a guy says to somebody, I'm renting to you my house for $1,200 a year, $100 a month. Or a guy says the reverse, I'm renting to you my house, $100 a month, $1,200 for the year. Do you go by the first thing he said, or by the last thing he said? In other words, if a guy says $1,200 a year, $100 a month, and then it's a leap year, do you go by what he said first, which is $1,200 a year, or do you go by what he said second, $100 a month? And there's an argument in the Mishnah. The argument in the Mishnah, what do you go by, so to speak? Okay? So you see, it matters in halacha a lot, this concept of a leap year, not a leap year. Or in the Rambam that we're learning these days, in the laws of making vows, if a guy says, I'm not going to drink wine for a year, and then it becomes a leap year, so is the vow 13 months? Or is it 12 months? That's the whole thing. Coming back to this, that's generally the concept of the leap year. Why we have the leap year, and why we have to have the leap year, because the Torah says Pesach has to be in the spring, and if you're going to lose 11 days a month, I mean, 11 days a year, then after 5 months, you're going to be 55 days behind, so you have Pesach during the winter. And that can't be. Now, in Torah, we do find, even though we go according to the lunar calendar, but in Torah, we do have, in fact, we say it every day in davening, about the solar system. In fact, in Kabbanis that we say, it says, the Rabbanan learned, how is the incense prepared, the Ketaitis, yeah? It weighed 368 manim, 365 corresponding to the number of the days in the solar year, one manah for each day. Half a manah in the morning, half in the evening. And the other three the Kohen Gadol took in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. So you see that even in Torah there is a concept of going by the solar year. Now, the Pasuk speaks in Vayikra about buying back or redeeming a field. Yeah? And the Torah says over there, Shana Tmima, a whole year. So Rebbe learns it's 365 days. Why? Because a year is not the lunar calendar. A year is the solar calendar. So Rebbe says it's 365 days. The Chachamim say no, even though the Torah doesn't say 12 months. Sometimes the Torah uses the expression 12 months. That even though the Torah over here uses the expression a year, but the Chachamim say it means 12 months. Why is the Torah using a year? Why doesn't the Torah say 12 months? Because the Torah is teaching us, this is what the Chachamim hold, that if you have an extra month in there, because if it's a leap year, that's included in the year. If the Torah would say 12 months, I'll give you an example. In the laws of mourning, you know, God forbid you lose a parent, it's not a year's mourning. It's 12 months. In a leap year, you stop the Avelut the morning after 12 months. It's not a year. You know, you don't, the morning is not until the yard site. Sometimes, if the year is only 12 months, then the Avelut stops at the yard site. But if you have an extra month, the leap year, you have 12 months only at mourning. And then you have a month to wait until the yard site comes. Because over there, the halacha is 12 months. Here the Torah uses the word Shana Tamima. So Rebbe says Shana Tamima means 365 days. Chachamim say no, it's 12 months. Why does the Torah say a year instead of 12 months? To teach us that if it was a leap year, you also gain. So you have an extra month to be able to buy back or redeem the fields. Okay? So now the Gemara is trying to figure out how can you have a year without three holidays? Right? So Gemara says, according to Rebbe, you have it. How? So the Gemara says, Mishkachas le Rebbe, you find this according to Rebbe, the Akdash Shebasa Chag HaMatzis, when one made the animal holy, made a korban right after Pesach, Bechimati Shili Adar Basra, then you have a leap year. Okay? Shana Malya the Golem Leimalu. You have a year, but no three holidays. This is very simple math. I mean, according to Rebbe, a year is 365 days. Right? Now, if you have somebody made a korban right after Pesach, and you count 365 days, Pesach didn't come yet. Why? Because a leap year is 384 days. Right? 354 plus another month is 30. It's 384. Right? So then, if you have 365, you finish the year before Pesach starts. So it's possible to have a year without Pesach.
But you have two holidays in between.
Yeah, but you need three.
But it says
the Gemara says holidays. You can have a year without three holidays.
Oh.
No. The Gemara says the Gemara is saying either three holidays without a year or a year without three holidays. So three holidays without a year we have. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in a half a year. So that's it, right? But the Gemara is trying to figure out how in the world do you have a year without three holidays, right? So first the Gemara says, if you hold it, you need Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot orderly, right? So then you can have it a year without three holidays. If you did it, let's say, before Shavuos, so Shavuos and Sukkot don't count because it has to be three holidays in order, starting from Pesach, so that's possible. Then the Gemara says, you can also find it according to Rebbe. Because Rebbe says the year is 365 days. So if you have a leap year, and somebody made the korban right after Pesach, the 365 days are over before Pesach starts, so you have a year without three holidays. But the Gemara says, Ela l'rabbanim, but according to the Chachamim, Heirem mishkachas lo. How do you find such a thing? So the Gemara says as follows, K'detanyu Rav Shmaya. And this is a very interesting din about Shavuos that we mentioned when we were learning the din of Masvida. K'detanyu Rav Shmaya, like Rav Shmaya learned, this is very simple technical math. I mean, this whole Gemara is just to figure out how you have days without years, holidays and things. It says like this, Atzeres Shavuos, Pamim B'chamisha, Pamim B'shisha, Pamim B'shiva. Shavuos in Israel is one day. So let's work with that premise. It's easier. Now, we have Shavuos today on the sixth day of Sivan. When is Shavuos? The sixth day of Sivan. The Gemara says it doesn't have to be that way. Shavuos could be sometimes on the fifth, sometimes on the sixth, sometimes on the seventh. Not according to our calendar. According to our calendar, Shavuos is always on the sixth day of Sivan. In biblical times, or in Mishnah times, when they still made Rosh Chodesh based on the testimony of the witnesses, you were able to have Shavuos sometimes on the 5th of Sivan, sometimes on the 6th, and sometimes on the 7th. How is this possible? Like we're learning it then, when we're learning the Din of Svira, Shavuos is the only holiday that the Torah doesn't say when it is. If you look in Chumash, the Torah says the 15th day of Nisan is Pesach. 15th day of Tishrei, or 7th month, whatever, but Tishrei is Sukkot. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the month. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the month. Shavuos, nowhere in the Torah does the Torah say when it is. What does the Torah say? On the second day of Pesach, you count 49 days. And on the 50th day is Shavuos. So the Torah doesn't connect Shavuos to any particular day of the month. It's the only holiday like that. Shavuos is 50 days after Pesach. Now, the way our calendar is set up, Nisan has 30 days, and Iyar has 29 days. So based on that system, if Nisan has 30 and Iyar has 29, so then Shavuos is always on the 6th day of Sivan. What would be if Nisan would have 30 and Iyar would also have 30, then Shavuos would be on the 5th day of Sivan, because you have an extra day in the middle, because you have 30 days of Iyar, Nisan and Iyar. If what happens though, if Nisan would have 29 days and Iyar would also have 29 days, so the 50th day would come out on the 7th day of Sivan. If it's 1 month 29 and 1 month 30, either way, Shavuos would be on the 6th day of Sivan. But Shavuos has nothing to do with the day of the month. It's the only holiday. It's very unique. It's the only Yom Tov. There's nothing to do with the day of the month. What?
So, is the extra day we have for the Yom Tov because like the uncertainty of how many days were in the previous month?
You're alluding to a very good question, but I have to explain your question. You're alluding to a very good question. Based on this concept, but this is clear about Shavuos, yeah? Sometimes it's going to be the 5th, sometimes the 6th, sometimes the 7th. Correct? In fact, that's why, like we were learning, when we were learning the Dinim, according to the Rebbe, if you cross the international date line, where you're losing a day or gaining a day or whatever it is, yeah? Because Shavuos is not dependent on any day of the month, Shavuos is only dependent on the 50th day of the Omer. And if Omer is a private counting, it has nothing to do with everybody else, right? So then you have to celebrate Shavuos on a different day than everybody else, because you're losing a day or gaining a day, depending which way you're going, right? So then the bottom line is your Omer is different than everybody else's, and your Shavuos would be different than everybody else. Now, the reason why we keep 2 days Yom Tov, this is relevant, by the way, to this Gemara. The reason why we keep 2 days Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, because when they didn't have calendars, and they only testified, based on the testimony of the witnesses, they proclaimed when Rosh Chodesh would be, right? So now, how did everybody know? They didn't have fax machines, they didn't have email, they didn't have all this stuff. How did everybody know when? And this is a Gemara later in Rosh Hashanah, by the way. How did everybody know when Rosh Chodesh was? So initially the Gemara says they used to light torches on a mountain. The Jews on the next mountain saw the torch, so they lit torches. And then the Jews on the next mountain lit, you know, so in a very short time, everybody in Israel saw the torches lit, so everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh was. And based on that, they counted the days to know when the Chag was. Right? Then the troublemakers, you know, started making trouble, and they started lighting fires on the wrong days. And this messed everybody up. Okay? So the Chacham said, you know what, forget it. That system's not going to work anymore. So they sent out shluchim on horseback. They sent out messengers on horseback throughout Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And in those places where Jewish people lived, to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh was. Now, like we learned before, a month can have 29 days, a month can have 30 days. We don't know, depending on when the moon could be seen. Because a real lunar month is 29 and a half days, approx. Okay? You can't make Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day. So one month you're going to see it 29, one month you're going to see it after 30. Right? Now how did people know? So the shluchim, the horsebacks, went out to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh was. So by the time Pesach came, by the time Sukkot came, the 15th of the month, everybody knew. How about those places where the shluchim couldn't reach by then? Or settlements of Jews that lived in a way that it didn't pay for the shluchim to God, there weren't enough Jews, or they weren't able to reach it in 2 weeks, right? So they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. Right? They didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. So what did they have to do? They had to keep 2 days Yom Tov in a doubt. Maybe this day, because it could only be one of 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, after 29 days or after 30 days, right? So they didn't know. So because of a doubt, they kept 2 days Chag. So all those places, the Rambam says, where the Shluchim didn't reach, the horsebacks didn't reach, they had to keep 2 days. Why do we keep 2 days today if we have a calendar? Right? So it's called tradition. That's the kind of tradition. Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, places outside of Israel kept 2 days, you have to keep 2 days today.
So the desecration of the second day is rabbinic?
Yeah. It's still forbidden. And the Gemara says it's even worse, because the rabbis wanted to enforce their rules, they made it even stricter the first day. But there are leniencies that the rabbis made concerning the second day. For instance, it's not done today, at all not, but in Gemara times, if somebody died, the first day, they were able to bury them through a guy. The second day, a Jew could do the burial. That means dig holes, everything forbidden. But only the guy that had to do it. No family, no relative, no friends, nothing. And therefore it got to a point, this is the desecration of Yom Tov, so today halachically you're not allowed to do a funeral on Yom Tov. But in earlier times historically, in Europe, you should know, if a guy died the first day Yom Tov, he was buried to a guy. And if a guy died and it had to be buried on the second day, a Jew was allowed to do it. In fact, the Rebbe Nasich asks a unique, the Baal Shem Tov died on the first day of Shavuos, which would mean that the Baal Shem Tov was buried through a guy. So Rebbe says it's a wonder that the body of the Baal Shem Tov should be buried through a guy. Because halachically in Europe, that's what they did. Today in America we don't do it, because it ends up being desecration of Yom Tov of everybody else in the family. And they're not allowed to.
So goy doesn't do it either?
No.
So was Baal Shem Tov buried by God?
Doesn't say. But look, Chayda, just from the halachic scenario, that's the way it should have been. Anyway, you understand so far? That's what's, I'm coming to your question. Now, so now the question is, why don't we keep 2 days Yom Kippur? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch asked the question, why don't we keep 2 days Yom Kippur? The answer is, because fasting 48 hours is very difficult. And the fact is today we do have a calendar, and today we do know, so the rabbis were lenient. But if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says, somebody who's able to should fast 48 hours, but it's not done today. I mean, people freak out after 2 hours, they freak out already. But to make them fast 48 hours is... So the Chacham said,
48 hours straight? Or
yeah, straight. Straight, because it goes straight into Yom Kippur, though. One day goes, you don't have a break between one day Yom Tov and the next,
right,
to do work. Go straight. Okay? Now, so the question is, and just one last point, because this is relevant to the point, we're going to learn all this later in the Gemara, by the way, many pages later. Yet in Israel, they also keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Even though the Torah says one day. And the answer based on what we said is very simple. Rosh Hashanah, when Beis Din proclaimed the day, the first day of the month, that day became a holiday. How? The witnesses couldn't ride a horse in Yom Tov. And even in Israel, within a day, they weren't able to find out. So many times in Israel, they also kept 2 days. Okay? So therefore, even in Israel today, they keep 2 days. The question is, now I'm coming to your question. I don't know if you meant it, but this is really what your question was. Why do we have 2 days Shavuos, though? If Shavuos is 50 days after Pesach, by then everybody found out when Pesach was. So if everybody found out when Pesach was, by then for sure, it was like 2 months already. By then everybody found out when Pesach was. So why do we need 2 days Shavuos? Shavuos should be only 1 day. Because everybody by then knew when it is, and Shavuos has nothing to do with the day of the month. It's 50 days after Pesach, right? So everybody should keep only 1 day Shavuos. Right? So why do we have 2 days Shavuos?
Just in case Pesach started on Pesach.
But by then everybody knew anyway.
After Pesach, count 50 days.
But why would it, so what about your count? You made a mistake in the Omer. But as far as Shavuos goes, why didn't you, by then everybody knew when the first day of Pesach was, the real one. So you count 50 days and that's it. Why do you keep Shavuos 2 days? So it says, not to differentiate, this is what Halacha says, not to differentiate between one holiday and the next. If there's 2 days Pesach, and 2 days Sukkot, and 2 days Shmini Atzeres, and 2 days the end of Pesach, then there's 2 days Shavuos. So the Chassam Sefer writes, it's very interestingly, he says, the second day of Shavuos is different than every other second day holiday. Why? Every second day holiday originated from a doubt. This is not a doubt, this is a definite. You definitely keep 2 days, not out of doubt, because this is what the rabbi said. It's an interesting concept. The second day Shavuos is more definite than all the other second days of Yom Tov.
Is that why on the 8th day of Pesach we can get the matzah bread?
No. Even though there are people that say that. But the Rebbe writes because it's the revelation of Mashiach and it's such a great revelation of godliness that the matzah can't get chametz. Okay. It just doesn't make it happen. Is that what you wanted to ask?
Kind of,
okay. But that's the concept of 2 days. Okay? Anyways, coming back to the Gemara here, we got sidetracked. So the Gemara says that the Gemara is trying to figure out how, according to the Chachamim, that have a 12-month cycle, how in the world can you have a year without three holidays? Okay? Right? So the Gemara is going to say a Cheshbon that it is based on what Rav Shmaya says. What does Shmaya say? Rav Shmaya says, Shavuos is sometimes in the 5th day, sometimes in the 6th day and the 7th. Okay? And the Gemara says, okay, said, what, how is it possible? He says, Shneim Aleim, if Nisan and Iyar are both 30 days, then Chamisha, it falls out on the 5th. Like we said before, Shneim Chaseinim, in both months have only 29 days, then it's on the 7th. Echad Malib, Echad Chosed, if it's one full and 129, 130, then it's on the 7th. So therefore, how do you have it? You can have, if a guy made a vow on the 7th of Sivan, no one thing. You can have it. Yeah, if a guy made a vow on the 6th day of Sivan, and Shavuos falls out the next year on the 7th of Sivan, so the year finishes on the 6th of Sivan. But Shavuos ends up to be on the 7th of Sivan. So you can end the year without three holidays. If a guy made a vow on the 6th of Sivan, the year ends on the 6th of Sivan, right? But Shavuos, that year is not until the 7th of Sivan. So it doesn't work. So the Gemara says now, Uman Tana de Polagala Rav Shmaya, which opinion argues in Rav Shmaya that says Shavuos can never fall out anything but the 6th? He says, Achedim, he is the opinion of Achedim. Now, what does it mean? What do they say? They say, Achedim, Eimin, Achedim, the Tanya we learned in the Braise, Achedim, Eimin, Achedim, say, Eim, Bein, Atzeres, Atzeres. There's no difference between Shavuos of 1 year and Shavuos of a different year, or Eim, Bein, Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah. Between one Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah, it's only Arba, Yamin, Bilvad, 4 days. Meaning, if 1 year, if Shavuos falls out 1 year on Sunday, the next year is going to be Thursday. And if it's a leap year, it's going to be 5 days. This is not the way according to our calendar. But anyway, according to Achedim, they hold that the difference between Shavuos to Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is 4 days. What do you mean 4 days? 4 days of the week. That means if 1 year Rosh Hashanah is Sunday, the next year it's going to be Thursday. Because you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the fourth day would be Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos. So according to him, Shavuos always has to be on the sixth day of the month. So they argue on the Mishayish, whatever.
That's the sixth day of the month. Sometimes it doesn't fall.
Yeah, but according to them, it does anyway. According to them, it doesn't matter. It's a lot of calculations. I mean, it's too complicated to go into now. Well, is this when the cycle works in 29/30, 29/30, 29/30? For instance, if the month, and this is where the complications get in. But there's a computerized, but there's a system for it. Some months are always 29, some months are always 30. There's 2 months, Cheshvan and Kislev, that alternate. And in fact, if you ever read the calendar, here. You know what? It'd be interesting just to. I'm going to get to it. I'm 191 at the top over there. Exactly what we're talking about in this Gemara.
How they can calculate all this stuff back then?
They were smart people. Now we have a lot of computers and that, but then they used to use the head.
We don't use the head anymore.
We don't use the head, we just press buttons. Okay, if you see on the top of 191 in the English, it says the months in the English and all the way on top. It's just a translation of the Hebrew. Nisan, Sivan, Av, Tishrei, Shvat, and other one are always full months, meaning having 30 days. Iyar, Tammuz, Elul, Tevis, and other in an ordinary year, or other two in a leap year, are always short months, meaning having 29 days. Cheshvan and Kislev are sometimes full, meaning both have 30 days, then it's called a full year. Sometimes they both have 29 days, then it's called a short year. Right? At times, Cheshvan is short and Kislev is full, then the year is called a regular sequence year. Because the way the count, then it would work that Tishrei is 30, Cheshvan 29. Kislev, you know, if you work that system, then every year would be. The problem with that is, that would only work if the year, if the month is exactly 29 and a half days. But it's not. It's not exactly 29 and a half days. See, if you make one full one 30, 129, 130, 129, and that, you're going to still be messed up a little bit. So to rectify that, they also change days around. So sometimes, and this is, so there's a system to figure this out according to our calendar when it works. No, they have a system. Which year it works, 29, 30, and that's why the calendar is set up forever. I mean, you could figure out from for the year 10,000 and who knows what.
But in addition to that, every 20 years or something, we add something? 20, 21 years? No, it'll take off? Nothing?
20 years. No, it's just the system. Of months, sometimes 29, sometimes 30, you know. A regular cycle year is when everything goes 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29.
What about the year 13, 12, 13, 12, or how?
No, a leap year, like the Rambam says, is a 19-year cycle. Well, it's a Gemara, but the Rambam brings it down. 12 regular years and 7 leap years in a 19-year cycle. And they know exactly which year is going to be a leap year from the 19-year cycle. Like, why is Pesach so early this year? Usually Pesach's in April, mid-April, right? Today, this year Pesach was before April started even. But next year is going to be a leap year. And then Pesach is going to be late. Instead, that's the way, but it's a set pattern of, and the Rambam says, I remember exactly which years was which. The Rambam says exactly which years are leap years. But in the 19-year cycle, there's 7 leap years. And also the system is set up, sometimes 29, sometimes 30, sometimes 29, sometimes 30.